Monday, March 19th, 2018, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from your West Side studios located here on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. And man, we have a great show for you today. As always, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King. And guess what, y'all? I ain't by myself today. Today's topic of conversation is going to be good. I'm in the studio. Look who's back, y'all. The one's only my good brother, the pastor from the First Bethel Church. Over on the south side of Chicago, Cornelius Parks in the house. What's going on, man? How you feeling?
Man, you got this thing, man. You?
Man, I'm good, man. We're going to have a good time today, man. We're going to have some good time, good conversation going, y'all. But look here, this is going to be good. This is for all of y'all who are in leadership and all that good stuff. Today's topic conversation, y'all ready? Things I failed to do when people left our church. Things I failed to do when people left our church. That's the topic of today's conversation. It's going to be good. I hope y'all ready for it. But before we get into that, let me give you the rundown on how you can be a part of today's show. If you're already listening on the line, push 1 and you can be a part of today's broadcast. That means you've already dialed in. You got your phone up to your ear, or your earpiece, your Bluetooth, whatever you use. And you want to already listening in, you want to push 1. If you want to be in, that means you want to talk and be a part of today's show. Man, them grapes look tasty.
They do.
them wine grapes
too,
right,
yeah.
For that Merlot.
Already shade.
I couldn't help it. I guess. Anyway, but if you want to dial into the show, if you want to call in and be a part of the show, real simple. You simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you. One more time, that's area code 347-934-0546. Yep. One more time. Area code 347-934-0546. We would love to hear from you. I think I like that. Amen. All right. We're going to talk about that. In a minute. It ain't posted. She just sent it to me.
Okay.
So, yeah, we got that. So, then, also, if you want to follow, if you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We would love to hear from you all that way. Again, that's takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. Send your emails in. We want to hear from you, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. If you want to follow us on social media, dang, if you want, what did we miss? Wow. Okay, you want to follow us on social media, you can do that. Real easy to do. You can follow us on Twitter. You can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all that way. Again, you want to tweet the show, you can do that at TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you guys on Twitter. If you want to follow us on Facebook, you can do that as well. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. That's facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Looking forward to hearing from you all via the book. One more time, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. That's always fun. And then we're also on Instagram. We're on Instagram as well. Looking forward to hearing from you guys that way on the gram. You can find us on Instagram at TTLO Radio or go to my personal page, TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Amen, amen, amen. Also, the live streams are up and running. Yeah, they coming on in. Bless the Lord. The live streams are up and running. You can find us on Ustream, ustream.tv, ustream.tv. Do a simple search for Taking the Limits Off Radio on Ustream, or download the Ustream app. You can find us right there. Real simple. Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off Radio or TTLO Radio, and you can find us right there. And then Facebook Live. I see y'all already coming in. Lord have mercy. Y'all coming in quick. I don't want to miss no names. Y'all coming in quick on the Facebook page. Facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. Again, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Or you can always find us on our personal pages. You can go to my page. You can go to Parks' page. You can go to – oh, wait a minute. Did I even put them – I didn't put y'all in there, did I? But you found it anyway.
No, you did. I think you did.
No, I didn't, but you found it, though.
Yeah, it just came right up.
Oh, okay. That's weird because I didn't tag. I think I was going too fast. Anyway, I can fix it on this side over here. I will edit that post. But you can find us on facebook.com/TTLO Radio. You can find us there. And then last but not least on Instagram, we're live. Hey, y'all, on the gram. That's over here. How y'all doing? You can find us on Instagram. Real simple over there as well, TTLO Radio. You can find us right there. Looking forward to hearing from you guys that way as well. And then last but not least, subscribe to our podcast. Go to blogtalkradio.com. Go to Stitcher. Go to Slacker. Go to whatever. Anywhere you can find a podcast. iTunes. It don't matter. Just do a simple search for Taking Limits Off Radio. You can find us. And guess what? It's free. Don't cost you nothing. Parks!
What up, man?
What's happening, man? What's going on?
Because I
want to hear what's going on with you before I go on my tirade.
No, you can't really.
Yeah, I can't.
Let me say this.
No, I'm going on my tirade.
It was a last minute.
I don't care.
No.
Okay.
He was a fill-in.
I don't care.
he was a fill-in.
How was church? How was your morning service yesterday, Pastor Park?
Everything was good, man. Morning service was good.
Uh-huh.
I've been in the, for the month of March, I've been in a series, In Too Deep.
Right, right.
And, man, when I tell you it's been mind-blowing and it's been really fulfilling, man, the atmosphere have been set forward, and I tell you it was good. And then, of course, what you're going to talk about, the cardinal came over.
So how was your service yesterday morning, Pastor Park? What are you talking about afternoon? How was your service yesterday morning, Pastor Park?
Good atmosphere.
It was good. Everybody came and had a good time. Had a good turnout.
Yeah,
the weather was decent yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
Had a good turnout, all that. Okay. And, all right, so ask me about my service yesterday, Pastor Park.
How was everything at the Ebenezer Baptist Church?
That's the historic.
The historic Ebenezer Baptist
Missionary.
Missionary Baptist Church.
Man, it was awesome. I had a wonderful time.
Man, you look good up there, man.
Man, I had a wonderful time, man. My mom came out and surprised me.
Did she?
Because, you know, she don't drive to the south side. She don't drive nowhere, really, because if the GPS ain't going.
Oh, wow.
Right. So yesterday, she found out, or for some reason, I got blamed because she didn't know she had OnStar in her car.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Don't you got OnStar in your car?
Yeah.
Ain't it up on the.
Yeah, mama.
On the mirror?
Yeah.
It say OnStar, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she had a GPS. She has an actual the old school GPS that you put in the car.
Gotcha.
Then I told her how to do Waze.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody else showed her how to use Google Maps, which was a bad mistake.
It messed up.
Right. So yesterday she found out she had OnStar. So she hit the button, and it gave her the turn by turn, which she loved.
Wow. Wow.
Right. So she got there, surprised me, because I didn't, I didn't even ask her to come because I knew it was going to be either I was going to have to come over and pick her up and take her, which, I would have done that. But I was like, nah, I ain't going to ask her to come. It's all good. So when I got there, she was there.
Wow. She beat you there.
Oh, yeah. She said she got there about 10:30.
10. And service started what time?
11. Yeah,
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, no, mom, she ain't about that late life.
She timely.
Yeah. So But, man, had a good time. First Saturday, man, big shout-out real quick. I want to give big props out to my mom for coming. My mom came down and helped with the prayer breakfast, the Men's Day prayer breakfast.
Okay. Okay.
Sister McCurtis filled in for Lovey.
Oh, my
that was
God.
Cool, man. Man, we had a good, man. We was
wow.
rolling in the kitchen. Oh,
wow.
You would have, man, we should have had cameras rolling. We should have had, like, I should have went live in the kitchen,
oh,
but,
that's what's
but
up.
It wasn't, you know.
That's what's up, right.
It wasn't always safe.
Appropriate.
Yeah. It wasn't always safe. But, so we was in the kitchen, man, had a good time, had a good turnout.
That's good.
Man, and threw down in the kitchen, man, bacon, eggs, sausages.
That's good. That's good.
Biscuits.
That's good.
And some pancakes.
Okay.
Yeah.
They must have been right.
No, somebody just need to have pancakes. The pastor, the Marcus Clemens, Pastor Marcus Clemens of the Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church requested.
Oh, he liked pancakes. He liked the pan of the cake.
So we, you know, didn't think to, you know, tell the people, like, everybody else was looking for pancakes when they
I need you. Don't start.
But anyway, man, it was a good time, man. Everybody enjoyed themselves. And, yeah, but, man, I had an amazing time at Ebenezer. First of all, let me say this again. Let me tell you what they do. So when, and I didn't know this because I hadn't seen it before and I hadn't had any visitors,
okay.
You know, I hadn't seen it before. So one of the things they did was, I had been over there since for 3 weeks. So they get the names of, let me rephrase that. I had been over there, but this is the first time I've ever seen them take visitors' names before they go in.
Okay.
So when I got up, when they got ready to do the visitors' piece, I don't know if you saw in the video. They actually called their names. They was
wow.
We have Cheryl King. We have Danielle Donald. We have Autumn Blake. I'm like, what in the world?
Wow.
And they're all visitors of Reverend Dana King. I'm like, oh, y'all got names?
Wow.
Like, when y'all do that?
That's classy.
Man, pretty good, right? Because
let
you know they got your information.
Yeah.
So it was great, man. It was a great time, man. Got to see a lot of people. The spirit was awesome in there. I love that. It ain't nothing but about. I think it's about 10 of them up there, 11 choir members up there.
Wow.
But they hums, Jack. They go in.
Yeah, and I like the guy.
And Brother Stovall, the lead, the director,
okay.
he just go.
Yeah, he go.
He go by himself.
Yeah.
Because that Negro song Shine on Me last week.
Oh, wow.
And I was ready. He took you way back.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, man. I watched the video, and I even watched the preaching, and, man, you look comfortable.
It was fun.
Man,
I had a good time. I really did.
I really seen you.
Okay.
You know, sometimes when you take it out of your comfort zone, you don't know how you'll respond. But to be honest with you, I seen you. You was more comfortable just standing there. And even
the thing about it was I was nervous all week long until late Saturday night. When I couldn't sleep and I was like, man, I'm just excited. I was ready.
Now, I'm going to tell you this now.
I was ready.
The crazy part, I'm more nervous when it comes down to teaching than preaching.
Oh, see, I don't teach. Not teaching, I'll be good.
No, I mean.
I don't have no problem. But preaching, and I think that my nervousness set in because I started to realize where I was standing.
Okay.
You know, it's one of those things where.
Legendary.
It's different when you're preaching somewhere. You know, I've been to other churches and preached to other churches, and I ain't taking nothing away from, you know, the great minister, brother friends I have, pastors who've allowed me to preach in their pulpit. But when you stand in, you know, in one of them spots, like, hey.
Oh, definitely.
You know,
definitely.
Dr. King stood here.
It's very honorable.
You know,
it's very honorable.
You know, Jesse Jackson, you know, and I, you know, everybody know I'm not a big fan, but Jesse Jackson stood here and preached back in the day when he was preaching.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. It's very honorable. Very.
Yeah. So, but it was good, man. It was good. So anyway, let's move on. So afternoon service, and I get out of service yesterday. We get out early, too. Let me tell you this. You know what I love about Ebenezer? You get in and out.
What time y'all get out?
Service started at 11,
uh-huh.
And I got up to preach at 11:40.
Okay. Okay.
Mind you, we did responsive reading,
mm-hmm.
congregational song,
mm-hmm.
announcements,
mm-hmm.
offering,
mm-hmm.
Altar call, a prayer, invocation, whatever you want to call it, choir sang they 2 songs.
Wow.
And I still got up to preach.
Wow.
At 11:40.
So what time you guys got out?
I was done. I sat down at 12:10.
Okay. Okay, 30 minutes.
And somewhere.
That's good. That's good.
And we were, you know, I was done. I opened the door of the church at 12:10. That's when I consider myself over.
Right.
So I opened the door of the church, and man, we was out of there about 12:15, 12:20.
Oh, wow. That's now keep in mind, I'm going to show you something. That's good because pastoral remarks takes 5-10 minutes.
Sometimes they do. Yep.
And so I tell people this, you know, it don't take a lot, all this extra stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Cut the fluff.
Yeah.
Cut the fat.
Yeah.
When you know, when you get ready to cook some meat, when you're cleaning it,
you got
to
take some of the fat off.
You got to take some of the fat off.
You got to cut off some of it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of you got to leave on because it helps give seasoning.
Flavor.
But some of it, yeah. Some of it, you got to cut it off.
Right.
Because
there's
no use.
Right.
Because you're going to eat the meat and pretty much leave the fat.
Right.
And so that same thing in church.
Mm-hmm.
You got to look at your service overall and know what to cut off.
Yeah.
Because truth be told, you know, you don't want your people looking, okay now.
And you know what it is? It's a natural flow of service.
And that's good.
There's no gaps.
It's systems.
It's systems. Yeah. And so the amazing part about it is, and that's kind of why we were asked to go over there, because we officiate, we run the service. So
okay.
we've met with them and said, hey, look, let's just have this thing. And they've gotten and shout out to their previous pastor, because I think he had these things set in motion.
Gotcha.
So they just flow.
Gotcha.
You know, they just flow through the service. No extra announcements, just no craziness. People are where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there, man. And I love that. I love that.
Your name, emergency contact number one.
Yeah, inside joke. She had on her phone. We was playing with her phone one day, and on her phone, something came up, and it said who her emergency contacts were. And I was mad that I wasn't the first one in the emergency contact list.
I mean, that's right. Mama, how you doing, number one?
Exactly.
You doing wrong, mama.
So let's move on. So anyway, I got out of service, and I was trying to figure out. It was early, and I got out of service, and I said, well, man, my mom said, what you finna do? I said, well, I said, I'm probably going to go home and find me something to eat or whatever. And so then I went home first, and then I came back out, and I said, so she was like, well, I'm cooking. I said, okay, well, I'll go over there. Now, I get over there, you know, I'm pulling up, and I'm parking the car. And that's when I see the notification. Yeah. You going to the gym today? Good.
Every day.
Good. So anyway, as I was saying, I get ready to go in the house. I'm parking. And all of a sudden, I see Cornelius Parks invites you to his live. That was your first mistake. That was your first mistake right there. Should have invited me. He invited me to live. So Michael Henderson, y'all know the Wednesday co-host that sits in this same chair whenever he's in town, you know, the good cardinal from the Second Baptist Church of LaGrange out there in good old LaGrange, Illinois. Michael was preaching at First Bethel yesterday. Now, I don't know the circumstances behind it. I'm sure we'll get that story today in a minute. I'm sure we'll get it. But I was, you know, sitting there like, man, I could have went and heard my brother preach at my brother's church. Like, I could have killed two birds with one stone. But no. Now, it was emergency. I heard it was a last-minute deal. What time of the day was the last-minute decision made?
Okay.
Because at whatever time it was, somebody could have said, man, let Dana know. Why? Because he happened to be up the street on 47th and Vincennes. It ain't like I was on the other side of town. Pastor Parks, you have the floor, sir.
Okay, so.
You got the floor.
Hey, mama. So, here. Let me say this.
You got the floor.
I had another pastor that was supposed to come.
And him didn't show up.
He called me Thursday night.
Thursday night.
Say he can't show up.
Thursday. Y'all heard that. Thursday.
So what happened?
Look at your neighbor and say Thursday. I'm sorry.
I was on my way to meet Henderson.
Uh-huh.
And so happily,
what day was this?
About it. Thursday.
He was on his way
Thursday.
To meet Henderson Thursday. Thursday. The day before Friday, 2 days before Saturday. 3 days before Sunday. You know, Thursday is really the day that they believe Jesus was crucified. Let me let that go. Come on, preach. Come on.
So, short and long, he said he'll step in, man. And
on Thursday. don't feel bad, because I'm a phone at. Because I got a phone call from Henderson. on Friday.
Now, that's his fault.
Oh, no, that's okay.
Now,
that's
his
fault. I hope he listened.
He had to go to Atlanta today.
That's fine.
So that's his fault.
Facebook
went everywhere. I messed up.
No, I'm trying to.
Hey, this is how you get out of something.
See that?
I messed up.
See what my mama said?
Father, I have
sinned. See what my mama said?
It's the and the only have I seen.
See what my mama said?
They treated you like chopped liver.
Ah. See that? Mama don't lie.
Hey, mama, I didn't even know he was preaching at Ebenezer yesterday.
Now, you had to preach yesterday morning. So, that first of all,
I'm just saying, though.
It was on Facebook. I put it on Facebook.
That you was preaching?
Huh?
Oh, yeah, you did.
See what I'm saying?
I just thought about that. You did.
And I only announced it on the show Monday.
I wasn't here Monday. My uncle's funeral.
I know you weren't here. I announced it Wednesday. You popped on. I saw you on Facebook Wednesday.
I probably missed the announcement.
I announced it on Friday.
I was at a funeral.
I know. I'm just saying. But anyway, so my brother was over there preaching, and I watched about a good 10 minutes. I was mad, but I watched it. And he preached that thing over there, too.
He did.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this. So Henderson knows everybody. We know that, right?
He really do.
He knows every
everybody.
Every church in America.
Right. He know the good and the bad.
If
you got dirty laundry,
yeah.
Henderson knows.
He knows it. He does. So, Felicia, Matthew 15, for real.
Wait a minute.
Is that when you got an alt with your brother? Are you really saying that, Felicia? I just want to know.
Anitra said she felt the same way, too, when she got the late invite to go live. See what I'm saying?
Anitra.
I'm just saying.
We 20 plus.
We're not going to start today. 20 plus, and you didn't invite her.
See what I'm saying? Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Here we go.
March 25th at 3:30 p.m.,
uh-huh.
We will be closing out our 61st year anniversary.
And?
All is invited.
Who preaches?
We have my good friend, Pastor Montel Crawford.
I don't know him. Look, no offense. I don't know that fool.
Come and support me, man.
I ain't coming.
So listen, check this out. So
Henderson, come on.
He was in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Henderson, one of them old school preachers. He don't like to sit in the service, which is good. It's cool.
He don't like to sit in the during the service.
Yeah, pretty much. He'd come out a certain time. So he was back there.
To get somewhere to sit down.
He was listening.
Uh huh.
And he heard them talk about the history.
Oh, of the church.
Of the church.
Okay. 61 years, right?
Man, yeah. So Henderson, you know. Know everybody.
Uh-huh.
And as soon as he came out, he started talking about certain names and all that. Man, my church, they almost started shouting about him dropping names.
Wow. Because he knew who they...
He knew everybody, man.
Wow.
Talking about a blind musician, talking about an Afro Jerry Curl.
Wow.
He just named it all. And it just that made me feel good to know.
Right.
Because I don't know, and be honest with y'all, I don't know a lot of the pastors
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that started the church. Because a lot of pastors that started my church was from out of town.
I saw those pictures.
Yeah.
When I came over to help with the bag.
Yeah.
Y'all got those pictures down in that.
That ain't all of them. I'm talking about the startup people. Because
the ones who organized.
Yeah, organized.
Oh.
A lot of people that organized my church,
mm-hmm.
they dead.
Mm-hmm.
Or the church is not in existence anymore.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, man, I didn't have the history, but Henderson came. And
with history,
like for real, with history, man, I'm telling you, it was true history. It wasn't no fluff. It was legit because he started naming people.
Yeah.
And then he started describing people, and all I seen the mothers just jumping up.
Yeah.
I got kind of jealous for a moment. I could be preaching up a storm.
And they don't say,
you get that.
You get a dry amen.
You know, I'm grateful. They do give me some amens. You know,
uh-huh.
I when you get there in your slot,
mm-hmm.
your people going, it's crazy. Every pastor's member think they are the best preacher in the world. Like, for real.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell my people that I can't do it, like for real. And I mean,
mm-hmm. right.
It makes you laugh and smile too at the same time. And so, Henderson did it, man, and he brought some people over with him, man, and
mm-hmm.
it was a ball, man.
Now, who was on the organ?
The organ or the keyboard?
What did I hear? What did I hear? Because I heard an organ, I thought, in the background.
How did it sound?
It didn't sound bad.
Okay, that was his organ.
That was his organ.
Yeah, that's his organ.
Because he was leading the song before he started preaching.
Yeah, he led...
Not My Worship Is Real.
It was. My Worship Was For Real.
Oh, I thought it was the other song. I Love You, Jesus, More Than Anything.
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay.
My Worship Was
okay,
For Real.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. It was good flow, everything. And we got out. We started at 3 o'clock on the dot. We started on 3.
They started at 3. What time did morning service end?
12:40.
Yeah. So from 12:40
we was late.
To 2:45.
Boy, you sound like
couldn't have sent out. didn't think it was necessary to send out a tweet, a text, Facebook message, Instagram, Snapchat, anything. That was my inner Bernie Mac was about to come out.
Garrett know him, Pastor Garrett. Did he preach, man? He did preach, man.
See, Garrett came.
No,
I was gonna say
he seen on live. Yeah.
I was gonna say now, Garrett, if you went over there, you finna get.
But I do want Garrett to come over, man. I really do.
Right.
I do. I want Garrett to come over. Got to call him on that too.
Yeah, I'm waiting on Garrett to show back up in here to help me with this software.
Yeah.
For the last 2 months. Ain't gonna say nothing about it. Been two months. Ain't gonna say nothing. So anyway, I'm glad it worked out. When does softball season start? It's about to turn in, eh?
Man, the 31st is preseason
for March.
March, man.
Okay.
But I'm gonna miss the first day because that's my Easter egg hunt. So I'm missing the first day.
Y'all still do Easter egg hunt?
Oh, do I? Dude, I do it huge, man. Like, for real.
Garrett.
Hey, the sun went to heaven.
Everybody complaining about these fans.
I almost said something for real. Oh my God.
Y'all need to get over it. These fans is what they is. Look,
man.
If y'all came to the show more often, y'all be all right with the fans.
Uh-huh.
See, I'm gonna let that marinate right there for a minute. If y'all came to the show more often, you get used to them stats. Parkston got used to it.
Oh yeah, I'm good.
Henderson still hollers. But you know, he only come once a month.
I'm good.
Yeah, I ain't gonna say nothing about
that. No, I've been in the gym every day.
No, you have. I saw that.
Yeah.
So how's it working out for you?
Oh, it's working great, man. Only bad part about when you're fat and you you start going to the gym, your stomach drop.
Uh-huh.
And you want it to evaporate, not drop. You want it to leave.
Right.
But it start dropping. So all this is dropping. And, you know, your shirt start getting too tight at the bottom, like, for real. Like, you know, it's not that you're not losing inches and all that. It's just dropping, like,
uh-huh.
Voom. And so, yeah, but I'm getting that, man. I see I'm trimming.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it in my face. I can
mm-hmm.
see it in a lot of, even me walking and,
mm-hmm.
and running. Believe it or not, I can do a mile now. I did a mile in 12 minutes.
On the treadmill.
Yeah,
walking, not running, right?
No, both.
Oh, you did a little bit of both. You stopped.
Start.
Oh, wow, that's good, man. In 12 minutes.
In 12 minutes.
That's pretty good.
12 minutes. So, it's crazy. It's good. They always said they didn't build Rome in one day overnight, and honestly, we I know that, and I'm not trying to do it overnight.
My thing
now is consistency and staying with it.
Okay.
And so I'm staying with it.
That's
what
it's all about, though, at the end of the day.
You know what's the toughest part about the gym?
What's that?
Getting there.
It really is. It really is. And when you stop going and take too long of a time off and get ready to go back, it's the worst. It is the absolute worst. Because once you get there and you do it, you're like, why didn't I just go? What do you say? What?
Gary said... The meal told me to stop that run.
The meal?
The treadmill. Why? Why did that stop? Karen. Garrett, why didn't they tell you stop running?
I ain't got time for Daniel Garrett today.
Daniel Carpenter, happy birthday to you.
Pastor Daniel Garrett, what's Pastor Garrett's church?
Oh my God.
I can't think of the name. Pastor, what's the name of your church?
Spirit Redeemed.
That's it. He says, I can't stand to hear skinny Negroes talking about losing weight. I ain't saying nothing about losing weight.
Garrett, let me tell you something.
Because, you know,
I can't stand when you on the treadmill and somebody's skinny,
get on the treadmill,
lose less calories than you, but they run faster than you. Like, you, they ain't losing no calories, but they going. Switch! And you just sitting there like, oh.
You ever been in the gym with the people that be doing all the moves on the treadmill?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I go.
And then they be going sideways, and then they go backwards.
Man, listen.
I mean, got to look like they roller skate. Man, that's a rainbow.
Yeah, man, listen. I be doing the Matrix. I be running straight.
Do you do the elliptical machine?
That's what I'm doing starting this week.
You do the elliptical machine, you can cut out all that running.
No, I'm.
Because the elliptical machine, for anybody,
you have to condition yourself.
Hey. The elliptical machine is not of God.
It's a full body.
Man, you work everything.
So I'm
I promise you, you do 20 hard minutes on the elliptical machine.
Oh yeah.
You gonna see. You gonna be like,
no. And so what I do too, I put a big bag on.
A big who?
Plastic bag, man.
What, the sweat?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you just order one of them
No, man, because you know they're ripped.
No,
the way my stomach is set up. You know, I told my stomach dropping, so it'll rip, man. So I got some big lawn bags that I open, put my arms in, put my neck in, just tie it up, and man, that give me the go, man.
I don't know what to say to y'all.
For real,
I'm so lost right now.
Man, for real, I'm old school.
What? That's how the old school boxers used to train back in the day when they run. You know, the boxers, they wear those. But they actually wear those plastic suits.
Yeah, you remember they did in Austin too when wrestlers need to lose weight.
Lose weight, yeah. Oh yeah, you wear it all week long,
man.
So you can make weight, just so you can make weight.
Yeah,
that's because all you big Negroes didn't want to wrestle nobody your size. Y'all wanted to wrestle little people like me.
Man, for real, like,
that's what it was.
Man, you be thinking you be doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna lie to y'all. You know, don't listen. Be like a horse when you're on a treadmill.
Be like a horse. Help me out. Be like a horse. Uh-huh.
Put on your blockers.
Okay.
Don't look to the east and don't look to the west. You would get sent off trying to keep up with somebody else that's 150 pounds lighter than you. Hey, be like Martin. Like you would say, oh, you ain't know nothing. You start pushing the speed on it.
Trying to make your speed go up.
Yeah, trying to make your speed. And then you realize you only did 5 seconds of that thing, and you got to push back down. look. So my goal was, uh-huh, when I first started, I said, okay.
All right,
I'm see how long I can go ahead and jog, right?
Uh-huh.
So now, at a continuous jog right now, I'm mm-hmm. at 4 minutes.
Okay, that's not bad.
Because you don't
run a lot anyway,
me,
so that's not bad.
For me,
4 minutes is good.
4 minutes was great.
And then you slow back down and
slow
down
down
the walking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to do a lot of catching the breath.
Okay.
And after I catch the breath, I come back and do 2 minutes,
mm-hmm,
and I go back to walking. But you know the guys that you running next to,
Garrett said they skinny people run next to y'all on purpose.
Garrett, man, my brother, you ain't lying.
I'm done.
They don't be sweating that hard.
Lakeisha Winter says, do you trot or gallop?
Both. Both. And it all depends on what music I'm playing. So I only listen to two types, house music or gospel when I'm working out. Now, I made the mistake when I was going through a lot. And I made the mistake and started listening to gospel while I was working out.
Okay.
This fool went in at the gym. I had to go into the locker room. I was crying and all this stuff. And I made people think it was sweat, but it was just real tears.
That's
like,
all
real.
I listen to.
Yeah.
I listen. Here's the deal. So when I'm doing, and I mean, you know, when I was going to the gym regularly, let me say it that way. when I was going to the gym regularly, my cardio work was gospel music.
Okay.
So it needed to be upbeat, whatever, whatever, gospel music. But when I went to the weights, I had one song.
What?
And it wasn't gospel.
It was rock?
No.
What?
It was Kool Moe Dee.
Which one?
I Go to Work.
I Go to Work.
Man!
Work.
Hey!
Man.
That Kool Moe Dee, I Go to Work, will get you what you
it,
look.
It will.
Look, and you swear you was living 300 pounds.
Yeah. Now, I got some, when I was playing college ball, we had a lot of songs that we white people songs, rock and all that.
Like metal?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
That
okay.
I can go back to and
okay.
be like in beast mode.
Okay.
Now, here's another thing about the gym that that gets me.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
You know, people think because you're a big guy, you're not strong.
Okay.
And so you got all these other guys in there that's like
buff.
They buff.
Uh-huh.
They built. Like,
but,
man.
Right, right.
So, idiot right here, you know, I'm not trying to be bulk. I'm
right.
not trying to lift a mass.
Right, you're trying, right.
I really need to lift small so I can
tone it up.
Man, I'd be sending myself off, like, just because I see them doing that. Man, y'all are weak, man. So I get under there and be hitting it like, And then when I finish, I feel like I didn't do nothing because
you just was, yeah.
Man, idiot here.
I never understood the guys who go to the gym and just want to bench press 300 pounds one time and go, yeah, man, I got it. You ain't did nothing.
Well, the most I ever benched in my life was 345. That was my top max.
That's about what time I might have got there.
Yeah. Now,
three what?
345.
I ain't, man, look.
That's my max ever.
My buddy, one of my best friends in the world, Danny McGee, I was at the gym with him, me and his brother. This was about maybe 15 years ago. And we was at the gym at Bally's downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when it was still Bally's.
Mm-hmm.
And we downtown and they benching. So Danny, big guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he benching 230, 250, whatever it is, whatever. So, you know, so they was like, man, come on. So his brother Tommy played basketball.
Okay.
So they benching or whatever. So I think he had like 210 or something on the bench. 215. That sounded 40, about right.
45, 35.
There you go. Right. 215 on the bench. So, no, what's 245? There's two big plates. What's 245?
That's 225.
Okay, so it was 225. So 225 is on each side.
225.
And the 60 pound, right.
Yep.
All right, so we had that up there, and he's like, come on, man, you got it. I said, okay, cool. So I'm watching them, and we was going up.
Uh-huh.
I got the 180. I was able to do, you know, I'm like, okay, cool. And I get on the bench. They on both sides. Get it up, go! And it come down, and it was like, these Negroes start laughing. They died. I'm like, bruh, my larynx is crushed.
Now,
wait, so I had his belt, and I still got his weight belt, because when we started going to the gym, he gave me his weight belt. He bought him a new one. So he's a DJ, so his weight belt say Master D or something on it, like, you know, weightlifting, like all that. So I'm walking around with this weight belt on, thinking I'm swole. Almost died on the bench, man. Like the die. I say, you know what? I don't bench press nothing.
Now, what I do.
I get on the machine and bench press.
I rep 225.
What, bench press?
Yeah.
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I rep 225.
I'm good.
So I'm at three sets of 10.
I'm good, y'all.
At 225. I can do three sets of 10. But the last set is rough because I don't have that.
I have no desire.
Well, I guess, you know, I always used to lift, man. So, and that's what sent me off. I need to, like, go down to 185 and do, like, five sets of 10 or something.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what sent me, man, it sent
what's 240, what's 145 on, what was those, that's 90 and 60, 135. That's,
yeah.
That's me right there.
Yeah.
So that's why I stay.
135 is,
I know my limit.
The 45 by itself.
Stay in your lane.
185 is the 45, 25, 215 is the 45, 35, and 225 is the 245s.
I come from the Deion Sanders school of bench pressing. What that do for me on the field?
Nothing.
not the position I played. Look, See, for you, it helped you.
But
for me, it did nothing.
I'm gonna tell you this: it's good, man. I'm appreciative because I made these goals last year and I failed myself.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But, this year I didn't come with no goals. I didn't say what I was going to do.
That's good.
My number one thing is consistency.
That's all it is. That's really all it is. And if you get up and go, that's half the battle
there. Yeah. So I go every day.
Just getting up and going.
And then Tuesday and Thursdays I go to the betting cage as well.
That's a workout too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So I do 60 swings And man, it's a good workout, man.
Now, what batting cage are you going to?
Lions, Stella's, on Ogden, right off Joliet Road. It's real good, man. It's big. It's really nice.
Ogden.
Yeah, and Joliet.
Right off Joliet Road.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah,
for some
Stella's.
Reason, I know where that is.
Yeah.
I believe I know where that is. Wow.
It's called Stella's.
That's
yeah.
cool, man. That's
yeah.
cool. That's
so,
cool.
So, man, I'm getting it. You know, they said when you go through things, episodes of life, it give you a whole complete life change. And,
yeah, yeah.
And so I'm embracing it and I'm moving upon it and really appreciating it. You know, Paul, you know how to play baseball, bro? Because I got a lot of guys, even Tim, a lot of guys that they want to come to the betting cage with me because, you know, you can do softball or baseball.
Right. So you swing that softball,
I'm
though.
Swinging softball, yeah, because I got to get my timing and all
right,
that
right,
stuff.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, yeah. But once again, it's good, man. I love to see guys out there just – it's a workout, man. It works out your whole core, man. So I do 60 swings, and, man – man, we got to hook up, bro, and really go for real because it's nice, man. It's real nice. You'll love it. So you get 60 swings for $5.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I ain't been to a batting cage in so long.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love to play. I'm thinking. I ain't gonna say I want to do it because I don't have the time to do it. Let me. So bowling is almost over. Boy, your boy bowled like hot garbage on Saturday.
No. Well, I
was worn out from cooking.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Oh, you cook?
I did the breakfast.
Oh, okay. But then also you prepare for Sunday.
Yeah, but I was wore out.
Okay.
I've done that before, though. I've been at the bowling alley with my computer typing my sermon on lane 17 and 18. So that's normal for me to be doing that.
Right.
But man, that ball felt like it weighed 27 pounds.
Oh, you was weak.
I had nothing.
You had nothing.
I had nothing. It was like, Dana, what? I was like, man, I should have just stayed home. Y'all could have used my skull.
You might know my cousin. His name's Javon.
Okay.
We call him G.
What's his last name? Is Javon Dylan. With a G?
Yeah.
Okay, no, go
and
ahead.
And so he's one of y'all bowlers.
Okay.
He bowled everywhere around, and we did our family get together.
Okay.
And
okay.
We went bowling.
Oh.
At Hillside.
I saw you. Yeah. I saw
and,
you live.
He was talking a lot.
I wasn't invited. I know it was family thing, so I'm okay with it. But I just want to put that out there again. I wasn't invited.
Man, this man throwing shade.
Is it shade when there's a modicum of truth, like 99%?
Ken Caldwell, honestly, the betting cage, working out your core, like from top to bottom, because you're not just using your upper body strength, you're using your entire body, and it is a workout, man. And when I tell you, it's great cardio. I sweat harder at the betting cage than I do on the trip.
What's the speed of the balls coming?
Well, slow pitch
right.
For softball is just regular slow pitch, but for baseball.
Baseball, it gets up pretty good.
Woo!
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Woof!
Yeah.
Woof! And, man, you know what would be amazing? Them little young
young shorties in that cracking them.
Cracking it.
Yeah.
Cracking it, man.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
Yeah. Daniel Garrett says
it's mighty dark. That's what I'm saying.
Look,
yeah.
I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah,
I wasn't invited, and Daniel Garrett, you know, it's been 2 months since I asked for that help with that software. I installed it on the computer. I can go back and pull the original install date and tell you exactly what day I installed the stuff because you said you was coming, and you know you.
I think I'm gonna go to Ben's case today.
Didn't show up. Anyway, so look real quick. Let's. What time is it? 12:43. All right, we good. Before we go take a break. Your president been busy, man.
45. Hey, I'm gonna tell y'all this.
Your president been busy.
Y'all gonna hear from me first. 45 gonna quit.
You think he gonna quit?
Man, 45 gonna quit, man.
The junior that lost his wife and left him.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just waiting. What time do you think Melania packing up?
She not.
You don't
she
think?
Not. Nah, she not.
Too much money to lose.
Nah, she already got a man on the side, so she not. She not.
How you know she got...
Man, listen, he getting caught up all these women, man. You don't think that...
That was old, man. That was, you know...
Man,
that
please.
Was when she was pregnant.
Man, please.
When he was with the porn star.
Man, please. Man,
no, but that's what it said, the timeline.
Man,
she was
brother,
pregnant with...
Man, 45, gonna quit, y'all.
You think he gonna quit?
Man, this man, his history, that
probably wants to quit, but he know he can't. If he quits, he'll be done with everything.
I think his mission is completed. I won. That was his whole mission. I won. I'm doing something that I never thought that. Well, everybody.
Felicia Martin, really? She says, I would never leave him. That's generational wealth.
That's right. If you was his wife.
Man, you better stack you some coins and get to stepping. All right, look. I told y'all, I'm not advocating divorce. Been there, done that. Got a couple T-shirts, some poster boards, some signs. However, I'm just saying. Why would you stay with that, man? What's Shaq's ex-wife, Shani? Shani stacked coins before she left.
Yeah.
Shani was taking that allowance and putting it on the side.
Yeah, Juanita Jordan did the same thing.
Hey, no, she didn't need to. She got half.
Yeah.
Every time I said it, my left cheek cramps up.
She did.
You ever hear the old Richard? I got the old Richard Pryor albums.
Do you?
Richard Pryor was talking about.
I got the Red Fox.
Oh, see them a little too. Yeah, I have to.
I got all of them.
I need to you need to have a beverage.
Oh yeah.
To listen to Red Fox because he go way down into some stuff. But Richard Pryor was talking about getting divorced, and he talked about it in front of the judge, and the judge was like, "Half." And Richard Pryor was like, "I can't say it over these airways because I get in trouble." He was like, "But she ain't told Nigel." He said she ain't told one joke. She ain't been hit with no bottles. Ain't nobody threw no tomato at her. He said, all five bailiffs dragged him out the court.
Hey, wait till I get married. I'm going to let you know, if you ain't preach a sermon, you ain't getting nothing. I'm giving you a box of Bibles. That's our prenup.
You know what? You're so wrong.
You gonna marry me? You better think about it.
Hey, I'm just saying. I just thought that was like, man. I remember when Juanita got $150 million.
Felicia says cheaper to keep her.
Felicia said I have five babies, generational wealth. What? Well, she got one, so she ain't got to worry about
Milani.
Milani. Yeah, they got the one.
Yeah.
What's that little boy's name? Baron.
But you know.
Yeah, Baron.
She was crazy to marry him. So she got to stay.
She wasn't crazy. She was trying to get that paper.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Man, 45, man. 45.
You know, I never thought I'd be openly to say this.
Uh-oh.
I look forward to see what's the next drama with 45. it's something every day.
It's become part of the norm now.
It's part of the norm. It's like killing in Chicago, man.
Oh, Lord. Don't.
For real, man.
Wow.
Man, you know it's going to come. You know it's going to happen, man. For real. I'm just being real. Man.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, man. It's unfortunate. Anyway, y'all, look, it's a lot of stuff going on. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump.
Oh, talking about Shaq White.
Oh, she's talking about Shaq White. Oh, they got five kids? Good Lord. Okay, yeah. That's why Shaq doing them, what's them commercials? Icy Hot.
Yeah.
Got to keep them checks coming, Jackie. Hey, that child support ain't no joke.
Man.
I remember.
Man.
All y'all know the number, 76492. I'm just going to lay it out there for you, just like that. 76492.
Oh, my God.
That was the number.
That was your number?
Every paycheck. 76492.
Ooh.
Lord, I said one more time for the people. I said it three times. One for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. 7-64-92. Right. right. Looking like a small social security number. Anyway.
That means you was making money.
That ain't the point.
Making money.
That ain't the point. Anyway, we're going to take
good afternoon, Pastor Wright.
Who is that?
Pastor Wright, De'Antoine Wright.
Who that is?
That's my little brother in the ministry.
Oh, okay. Where you pop at? Where you at?
I just seen him all.
Yeah. No, I don't see nothing. My stuff ain't updating over here. I don't see nothing.
There it is.
It's over there. Oh, okay. I did see that. Oh,
De'Antoine.
D'Antoine. D-E. A-N-T-J.
DeAntoine.
D-E. You, okay. All right.
Good preacher. Great preacher.
Wait, yeah. In Chicago?
Yeah, Abundant Life. His church on the north side. We come out of Renewance together.
Abundant Life Church on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
North side. Okay. Where on north side?
Oh, my God. Cortland. I don't know what it
is. Cortland or Cortland?
Cortland.
Cortland. Yeah. Got you. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And it don't stop even when they grown. Oh, it do stop, Chief. It do stop, Chief. Kenneth L. Cobb will say, hold up, watch it. Who that is?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to jump into today's topic of conversation. Things I failed to do when people left our church. This is going to be good. This article is really, really good. We're going to jump into that. Let me give y'all a little bit of this here. Like to do. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO Radio.
I think you know this little song. Like the dew in the morning, gently rest upon my heart. Like you do every morning, gently rest upon my heart.
Just go in automatically. But that's Judacris McAllister, so y'all, a little bit of Like the Dew in the Morning. I love that song long. So let me do just a quick church announcements real quick. Just to take care of some home business. Real quick, in case y'all didn't know, let me pull it up so I can get the right date information and everything. On April, come on now. All right, thank you. Here it is. Sunday, April 15th at 3:30 p.m. Is the installation of Reverend Marcus Clemens as pastor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. That's here, y'all. That's my church, where I am right now. Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, Sunday, April 15th, 2018 at 3:30 p.m. That's the day of the installation. Kingdom Baptist Church, y'all know the address, 301 North Central. Speaker of that evening will be Pastor Craig Melvin Smith from the Freedom Missionary Baptist Church. Y'all know the big old church over there in Hillside, where y'all used to go to the show at. Y'all probably act like y'all don't remember. But that big old church over there in Hillside. Pastor Craig Melvin Smith will be here from Freedom Missionary Baptist Church. And then musical guests will be Paula Turner and CMI Tecoria. Am I saying their name right? Tecora Rogers. Paula Turner and CMI. And then Tecora Rogers.
Paul Turner.
Oh, I'm saying Paula.
Turn on my mic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Paul Turner.
Yeah, why am I saying Paula? It's an A.
No.
You know what it is? Because I'm looking at her.
Uh-uh.
And I'm thinking Paula.
No, it's Paul Turner.
It is Paul, but mm-hmm. I'm saying Paula.
Great group.
Because I'm looking at her.
Great group.
All right. It's Paula Paul Turner and Takora Rogers. If I could read, I'd be all right. Paul Turner and CMI.
Mm-hmm.
What's CMI stand for?
Oh, man, I forgot what this stands for.
Ain't nobody going to help me. Okay.
Paul, he was just on here.
Oh, he was?
Mm-hmm.
He sure was. I saw his name pop up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Paul Turner and CMI, and then Takora Rogers will be in the house. That, again, that's 3:30 p.m. Sunday, April 15th, 2018, for the pastoral installation services for Reverend Marcus Clemens Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Here at the Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. So y'all welcome to come out. We got plenty of room, so y'all come and fill the place up.
Let me go back and correct, son, because I see Kenneth Caldwell mentioned we wasn't talking about Pastor Wright at all. That's my little brother, so we don't do that. He said Pastor Wright is a good friend of mine. That's why he said, hold up, watch it. I guess we don't do that on here. We don't
talking about who?
He's like, Pastor Wright is my good friend.
Oh, because I was spelling
friend.
His name?
Yeah.
I was just spelling his name. And,
we don't do that.
I ride all names that's got way too many letters.
Yeah.
Because mine is simple. D-A-N-A. But anyway. So, yeah, y'all come out Sunday, April 15th, 2018, 3:30 p.m., Kingdom Baptist Church, 301 North Central. One more time, that's the installation services for Marcus Clemens Sr., and musical guests will be Paul Turner. See, I got it right that time.
There you go.
Paul Turner and CMI and Takora Rogers. And speaker for the evening, Pastor Craig Melvin Smith.
Oh, Craig Smith.
From Freedom.
Freedom.
Is yeah.
Pastor now?
I don't know, man.
Okay.
Cool. I know he know him. That's all I know.
Now, Paul Turner, they good, man.
Are they?
Oh, man. They,
is,
they
it a, is it a lot of them?
I went to their... They had a concert in December.
Okay.
And, but Paul been in this thing. Paul come out of creation. I don't know. And CMI might be creation.
Okay. Okay.
He's been in it for a long time, man. He's actually the MD over at Greater Rock as well.
Greater Rock.
Pastor Floyd James.
Okay, I know that name.
Yeah.
Floyd James.
Yeah, he's been in it for a while.
Let me speak to some of these people on Facebook before we keep going, and I got a couple of comments. Daniel Carpenter, God bless. Danielle Carpenter, God bless. I know we missed a bunch of names already. So sorry. Lakeisha Winters, Angela Johnson, what's going on, twin? Daniel Garrett, Daniel Garrett, Pat Hicks, Anitra Howard, Lakeisha Winters. Who else we got? Who else we got in here? Keisha Moore, Tim Morris, Paul Turner. Baseball, that was him?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
All right. Tim Morris, God bless you. Kenneth Caldwell, God bless you. Let's see. Felicia Martin, I got you already. Did I miss anybody? I know I missed a whole lot of y'all that I can't see y'all's names on the screen no more. And then some of y'all, I didn't see y'all names because y'all didn't speak. So y'all come. How y'all come in to the TTLO church house and don't speak?
And don't speak.
That's church folk. That's how y'all do. Don't come in and don't speak. I don't understand that. Who your parents is? Who raised you? That's what I want to Who raised you?
Alicia Martin's at present.
Anyway, Pat Hicks came by to the prayer breakfast.
Really?
On Saturday. Show
did she bring a dictionary, thesaurus?
No, she did. She probably had her phone. She didn't have her Wikipedia dictionary. She probably had it with her. I should have asked her a couple of questions. But she did come in, and Pat got here a little late.
Was that your first time meeting Pat?
No. I know Pat. No, Pat got family over here.
Oh, okay.
Pat related to Deacon Rice.
Okay. Oh,
they in-laws.
Okay.
Yeah, they good. Yeah, no, I've known Pat forever.
Good.
Like, too long.
Okay.
too long. So she came by, and she got here a little late. So we had already, like, almost finished serving the food, whatever. So I knew we had some eggs and a couple pieces of bacon left in the back. So I said, what she said? She got here a little late, and she got special breakfast. Yeah, I went back there and cooked hers up fresh, right after. Yeah, I went back there. Yeah, so she was real good when she left here. She was she was real good. So wait, and her brother goes to church. And he's an usher.
Okay,
he's an usher here, and he said, "Wait a minute, man, how she get pancakes?"
Okay.
So I made her a little light stack of. Stack of pancakes too, you know. So, but it was good, man. It was good. Real quick, that was a teacher. We have been talking about arming teachers with guns and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was trying to find an article because somebody had sent it to me, and now I can't find it. But apparently, I believe in California last week, a teacher shot himself in the leg.
Yeah, it was a couple of them, I believe.
A couple people, teachers.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right. Bring it. Right. What?
Because they bringing guns in the classroom and don't know how to handle the gun and
oops. Yeah. Yeah. Oops. 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 That's what we call it now, right?
Yep.
That's what it's going to be when one of our kids get shot in school. Oops.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I ain't going to spend a whole lot of time on that, but I do want to spend a little time on this. Y'all know I'm going to stay on it until y'all do it. I'm going to say it again. I'm greatly disappointed. I am greatly disappointed. I asked y'all to do one thing for me 2 weeks ago, and I've only seen about 4 people do it in the last 2 weeks. I asked y'all to simply say, to do a simple post for me about Flint, Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
What about Flint? That's all I asked y'all to do. We need to keep Flint, Michigan in the news.
Yeah.
It's been 3 years and I don't know how many months, and they still don't have water.
Yeah. Yeah.
An American city being treated like a third world country, or living like a third world country, the only thing they're missing are the wells.
Yeah. That's it.
They still go into the fire department and to different locations picking up water every doggone day.
That's it.
They're spending the city is spending $22,000 a day on bottled water.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Wow.
I know you were a part. Your church was a part of the with Acree and the rest of the crew and Hatch and all those guys when they loaded up them semis.
Yep.
But that water's been gone.
It's been gone. That was gone as soon as you dropped it off.
It was gone the next year. That water probably lasted a day.
Yeah.
Maybe two.
And when you guys did it.
It was gone that night.
Yep.
Because we dropped it all off that day. So, but it's not in the news.
It's not.
You don't see it on anything. And unless you're living in Michigan, you don't know that this is still going on.
Yeah.
So I'm imploring you guys, the hashtag, what about Flint? Post it. Get a glass of water. I told you, 2 glasses of water. 1 dirty, 1 clean. Post it. Hashtag, what about Flint? And just send it out. And if you tag me, I will share it. And it will get people involved. We want people to do it. And tell your friends why you're doing it. Because you need to put Flint back in the news.
Yeah.
You got to do this, man. You got to do this. I'm just asking y'all. Little simple thing. We don't be begging y'all for nothing. And like I told y'all, ain't like I'm asking y'all for no money. I'm asking you to do something. Look, it's your civic Christian responsibility. Do it. Just that simple. I'm going to stop fussing about it.
No, it needs to create a fuss.
It needs to, man. It has to go viral. We have to get it done. We have to. Because these people are still down there struggling, struggling with that water. And I said this before, the most harsh thing I read was the fact that people are using bottled water to flush their toilets.
Wow.
Because they've had to cut the water off to their houses because they don't want that bad water to destroy their pipes.
That's crazy.
So I'm pouring 5 bottles of bottled water down the toilet every time I got to flush. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I just wanted to put that out there. What about Flint? Big things. Next big thing coming up. Okay, I do see it now. Where I did have it. Now it's gone. Bye bye. Okay, there it is. Right. Nope, that ain't what I wanted to see. Saw it already. Monday, March 26th. March 26th, Monday, here it is, if it come back up, Monday, there it is right there, Monday, March 26th, TTLO Radio goes prime. So this time next week, Monday, we won't be here at this time, at 12 o'clock, ain't gonna be no 12 o'clock show, y'all all know that, right? I want to make sure y'all know that. Maybe I should have made the announcement early, because y'all done dipped prime off and ran off,
time.
But we going prime. TTLO Radio, everybody going to be in here, right? Myself, my brother Parks, Henderson, Prophet Cornelius Williams going to come and sing Sweat of God. And my twin, Angela Johnson, will be in the house as well. So we're going to have a packed studio. Maybe that's why I think the door was open, because they was up here trying to clean up in here yesterday, because it was looking a hot mess up here. I appreciate y'all, dude. I really do, because it was a little rough. And that was mostly my fault. But, yeah, so we will be here Monday, March 26th, live on the air. Live. I need y'all to be ready for that. That's going to be a good show. Don't know what we're talking about yet, but it's going to be a good show. We're probably just going to be in here talking. But it's going to be a great, great, great show. Just want to do something different, see what happens. Just want to get the feel of what's going on. So that's Monday, March 26th. At 7 p.m., y'all are welcome to come out and join with us, or rather be online with us. However you listen, watch, or whatever, we will be here in studio that day Looking forward to hearing and seeing from all of y'all. And look, it's prime time, so that means y'all got time to invite your friends and do all that good stuff and let them know what y'all doing on the Monday night. Amen. Amen. Anything else going on with you, man, before we jump on?
Nah, man, just the Easter egg hunt, the 31st.
Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, man.
Do adults participate?
Yeah, man, listen. Well, last year we did a glow-in-the-dark Easter egg hunt.
Oh, so y'all put the did the dye that glows in the dark?
Yeah.
Oh.
And then we took them in the sanctuary, turned off all the lights. It was pitch dark. Played music, gave them flashlights.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was hot, man.
Nice.
But this year, because of the turnout we got last year, we're going to take it outside in the park. We got a fruit produce truck coming. We're giving away 500 Easter baskets.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we're going to have about 5,000 Easter eggs that the kids can go find. And
that's
get.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
So who's making all these eggs?
So I got people that's stepping up, that's going to help serve, help.
Felicia says, no studio audience. Felicia, talk to my producer, LaTanya Melton, about that. I have to get that cleared with the people's, you know.
Wait, Felicia, you in Florida anyway, right?
No, Felicia's in Lombard.
Oh, is she? Okay.
That's Marissa or Dana. That's somebody in California.
Marissa's
in Florida.
Yeah.
So Dana Miller is in California then.
Okay.
Yeah. Felicia local. Yeah. So, but yeah, man, it's good time. Man. It's good time. Looking forward to it. We're gonna have a good time. So look, y'all, let's jump right into today's conversation. It is a good one. Things I failed to do when peoples left our church. This is good. So this is written from a pastor a few days ago. And he was talking about how people leave church, and I guess this is talking about the responsibility of it. So this is good. It's kind of a convicting thing when you read it. I only read a little bit of it before we approved it this morning, and so we're going to jump right into it. The writer says this, and if you haven't hit the share button, I've asked y'all to do this. Don't just hit share. Y'all see me and my brother, what we be doing, we hit share, and then we hit invite. He does his really, really quick. His fingers are a lot faster than mine. I, on the other hand, am slow, and then my iPad is cracked, so it takes a while for these invites to recognize my finger without it bleeding. So, yeah, it's just going down the thing. But let's jump into this. The writer says this. He says, I've been a pastor in the same church for over 30 years. He says, over the years, many have joined our church, but over the years, a number have left for all kinds of reasons. He says, some left when they graduated college or to take a new job or to move closer to their children or other good reasons. Other left for reasons I felt maybe not so good, for doctrinal reasons, or they left or felt a need for change. He says, and some left because they had an offense towards me. They felt I had handled something poorly or wrongly. He says, one time many years ago, in my arrogance, as a young pastor, I thought that our church was the best in town, that our church was the closest to a New Testament church, so why would anyone want to go to an inferior church? Even if it was a good church, why leave the best church? He says, one unemployed carpenter told me he was going to move his family to Houston, where there were a lot of construction opportunities. I told him that since he didn't know if there were any New Testament churches in Houston, it would be better to stay in our church and take a job at McDonald's.
Wow. Wow.
He told that to somebody for real?
Wow.
Wow. He says at least he would still be in a New Testament church. How stupid was that? He moved to Texas, probably one of the best things he ever did. Fortunately, he says, God convicted me a year or so later that I should ask his forgiveness. He had either moved back or was visiting, so I called him. We got together. I asked for his forgiveness for my arrogance, for how I made it so hard for him to leave, and he graciously forgave me. He says, there were several others at the time I had sinned against in similar ways, and they also agreed to meet me, and they forgave me too. Well, you'd think I would have learned my lessons, but in recent years and months and weeks, I've been freshly convicted of some of the things and reached out to some folks who left our church. And they have graciously met with me, shared with me, and taught me some valuable lessons. I'd like to share them with you. So what should you do when people leave your church? Let's get into this. You've had to deal with this. You've pastored two churches, correct?
Yeah, two churches, yeah. They pastored 6 years. Yeah. So, one of the things, it's twofold. One of the things, some people you want to leave.
Okay.
And some people that you hate to see leave.
Okay.
And every time a person leaves your church, it's not always because there was something wrong with your church.
Okay. Okay.
There's multiple reasons of leaving churches. And believe it or not, a person will leave my church for one particular reason and then go to another church and they still have the same problem.
Okay.
And so you want to know why people leave your church, because you don't want your church to become a revolving door.
Right, right.
Most people use as, well, my church is a teaching institution. They get what they need, and then they go and move forward and go ahead and operate in that gift.
Mm-hmm.
But truth be told, you want to people, if you're teaching people, individuals, much matters of the word, doctrine, you want to see them
mm-hmm.
grow where they've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
You know how some jobs, they pay for your schooling.
Mm-hmm.
But because they pay for your schooling, you got to spend so many years at this job after you graduate
mm-hmm.
to help apply it or help that company out because they paid for your schooling.
Mm-hmm.
But in church, people just love to leave and just go, even when they get challenged. And no, it's a lot of reasons, but I think a true pastor will take ownership and accountability of why people continuously to leave his church. You got to look at what the members that you're shepherding as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to know the atmosphere. You got to know the house that you're pastoring.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see why people keep leaving and going. And all the time, it's not the pastor. It's not always the deacon. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's, but some of the case, it is.
Right.
And you got to be honest with that.
That's good. That's good. So let's jump right into today's conversation, y'all. This is going to be good. Again, we're talking about things I failed to do when people left my church. Let's go right into this. When people leave your church, go for it.
If you know someone is offended at you, ask if you can meet and hear them out.
Mm.
Jesus said, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. That's good. Why are we so slow to do this? People have left our church because they were offended at me, felt I didn't handle a situation right or didn't care for them in crisis. I didn't call them. I figured I have done all I could. I didn't intentionally hurt them, etc., and they were angry at me, but there was essentially something that they had to deal with. I have done all I knew to do. In one case, I contacted the individual, but when they shared their perspective, I kept saying things like, but remember, I did this, I said that, defended myself. If I had not done anything wrong, that didn't help. Wow.
Wow.
And you know, let me say this. One thing that I want to say this to everyone is that we need to stop trying to defend ourselves on every case.
Mm.
Because truth be told, even when you try to defend yourself, it's not going to be good enough. When a person want to leave your church, they come up with excuses to leave your church.
Mm-hmm.
Just like he said, it was a situation that he could have handled different.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't give a phone call. He said a situation he didn't handle different. He didn't care for them in crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this, and people miscue of the purpose of the church.
Mm-hmm.
The church is not to literally take care of everybody.
Wow.
It's not.
Uh-oh.
We can't.
Wow.
It's impossible.
Wow.
It's impossible for the church to take care of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be some type of self-sufficiency in your own personal life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our job as a church is to take care of you spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to physically and all the rest, our job is to empower you, to give you insight on how to become better than who you were before.
That's good.
But it's not our job to take care of you completely. And we lose focus on that because everybody thinks the church, because I pay money here, that I got right for you to do whatever I need you to do for me.
Mm.
And if we look at ourselves in every given situation, your boss handled matters in ways that you didn't appreciate it, but you still worked.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the church is the only institution that we pack up our bags and leave immediately.
Wow. Wow.
And I think that one of the things, it has something to do with Christians versus Christians. We don't know how to reason with each other.
Yeah.
We don't know how to come together on common grounds and talk things out.
Mm-hmm.
And that, my brother, I think really hurts us as a whole.
I agree. Let's keep going. The writer goes on to say, he says, listen, really listen. He says, then someone said I should meet with him and just listen. Take notes. Don't defend yourself. Don't make excuses. Really try to hear them and ask God to convict me and show me where I sinned, not to put the blame on them. He says, it was hard for me to do that because of my inclination to defend myself. But when I tried to really listen and see it from their perspective, God opened my eyes and showed me a number of areas in which I had sinned in the situation. And here's the key. In retrospect, I could see how I really had blown it with this. I really had blown it with this person. I didn't maliciously try to hurt them, but I had really handled the situation wrongly. And God gave me the grace to take notes, then ask for forgiveness for a number of ways I had blown it.
Wow. And
that's good.
I'm glad he acknowledged it.
That's
I'm
good.
Glad that he saw his mistake.
Yeah.
Because sometimes humility plays a part that we don't see our own mistake and we don't acknowledge it. And you know, I'm just a firm believer that James 5 instructs us when we have offended somebody.
Yeah.
We ought to go to them and offer apologies. You know,
yeah.
A lot of times we don't do that. We think that everybody owe us something.
Yeah.
And then, but also let me say this. If you are the one who's been offended, if you are the offended, give individuals an opportunity to come to you and apologize.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Don't make a matter bigger than what it really was.
Mm.
And sometimes we blow up matters bigger than what it really is because our feelings was hurt. Because we wanted this, we wanted that. But truth be told, you can't keep blowing up matters. And that's what really hurt us as Christians, man.
Wow. Kathleen Savon says, if you're not whole, you get offended. There's a difference between offended and tolerant. Hmm.
If you are not whole, you get offended. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Okay. That's good. Let's keep it going. Number three says... Or ask
what you could have done differently.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing someone suggested, in addition to listening without defending myself, they said I should ask how I could have handled the situation better from their point of view. When I did this, God convicted me again, and I believe gave me wisdom for how to do better in the future.
Yeah.
I have met with several people recently I knew were offended at me.
Mm-hmm.
I know several others I want to contact. But this has been the first step in reconciliation with some folks I had offended.
Mm-hmm.
And I am grateful for the gracious response. Here's the next lesson. Let me say this. So not to even talk about the matter that I was in, but even the matter I was in.
Gotcha.
So happily, people, now this is all through social media, and I can talk about it because it's public.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people was offended, not because it was on social media,
mm-hmm.
but because I didn't call them up personally and tell them about what happened.
Oh, wow. They wanted a personal explanation.
But this is my thing. It's amazing how people expect you to always give them something like they're God, like they're Jesus. I literally had people say, well, if you don't want to talk to me about it, you don't think you owe me an explanation, we don't need to talk ever. And I said, may the Lord watch. You know, I'm okay with that because I'm not going to allow you to try to make me feel like you're my God.
Right.
If this been gone 3 weeks and I put this behind me,
mm-hmm.
and if I prayed, asked God for forgiveness, and then I also made a public appeal, I don't owe nobody nothing individually.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're not even concerned about my kids.
Right, right.
My kids was affected by my actions.
Right.
And so you didn't even ask, how are my kids dealing with this?
Right.
And so sometimes people got the audacity to try to come at you like they somebody major, and you ain't nobody.
Hmm.
And I'm not trying to degrade you or nothing, but don't try to make it seem like I owe you all of this. And there's other people that's closer to me
mm-hmm.
than you are.
Right, right.
That was, number one, offended,
mm-hmm.
but then also was approached.
Oh, wow.
That I have to do damage control.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of times when we in this situation, even as pastors,
mm-hmm.
we're not perfect. We're not always going to solve matters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're not always going to come with the right solution.
Mm-hmm.
We're not always going to have the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
And so people need to stop trying to hammer us.
Yeah.
Thinking that we know everything, because truth be told, we don't know everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like that because I think that's one of the things you should always look at is what could have been done differently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's, even if it's an argument, a disagreement, whatever it might be, how could it have been handled differently?
Definitely.
You know, because I've looked back at some things and some heated arguments that I've been in, and it's like, you know, yeah, I felt good about going off at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But how could it have been done differently? Would it have affected things differently? Now, you know, a lot of people, I'll give a good example. You know, some of the people, you know, around, they after the election process was over around here, you know, people started, you know, sharing stuff with me in the church about, you know, how they felt about stuff. And everybody then had an opinion about, you know, how things could have turned out differently.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I heard it and I accepted the some of it was legit. You know, some of it was like real late coming. You know, like, why are you telling me today?
Yeah, yeah.
That happens. It happens.
What'd that do for me on January 30th?
It happens.
You know, but it's things that, you know, to help you is like, okay, you know, what could have been done differently? People leaving, people walking out of your life, people making changes and things like that. You want to make sure that you don't repeat the same processes over again.
Exactly.
So you do want to find out what could be done differently. Amen. Let's go. Next one says this. Reach out to those who leave your church. Now, this is interesting. He says, even if there's no offense there, how many times people left our church for any number of reasons? And he says, and I just never called them. He says, I'm not talking about someone leaving because of a major sin that you confronted them on. I'm talking about leaving because they just weren't connecting or they disagreed with a doctrinal issue.
Sure.
He says, as I've met with a few who left because they felt I mishandled the situation, they said, and you know what? Not only did you not call me, but no one from the church called me, or maybe one or two called to see how they were doing, but it's like they had just ceased to exist. A couple of people said something like, I felt like I lost my whole world, my whole family, all of my friends that I shared my life with for the last 20 years were just suddenly cut off. He says, I was convicted. I was guilty of that. People have left, and I never contacted. He says, I guess I figured it was their problem. They were wrong. I tried to help them, and they misunderstood. How wrong was I? He says, so when you notice someone isn't there or you hear someone is left, reach out to them.
Wow.
Go ahead and do, yeah. Oh, and when you do, I'm sorry. What's on page two? Oh, okay, good. We still have more. All right, so it said reach out to them. So let's talk about this. People leave your church for a lot of different reasons. And I agree that there should be a ministry in the church. I believe that there should be a ministry in the church that does reach out to people who are missing.
Definitely.
But I don't believe – but I think there needs to be there's a differentiation between reaching out to people who left the church and evangelizing.
Oh, that's different.
That's two separate things.
It is.
Right?
It is.
So if you're going to have people who are – it's almost like I don't want to call it a truancy ministry.
Uh-huh.
but it's almost like you want to have people who literally can go – and then you got to have the right people with the right spirit.
That's true.
Because I'm sorry, this is just me.
You hit it.
I don't think everybody in the church, you know, you all have a membership directory?
No.
Okay. A lot of churches, I guess, have them, but I don't know if I want everybody in the church having everybody's phone number and address in the church.
And they shouldn't. It should be a ministry.
Exactly.
It should be a ministry.
It should be a ministry
they've been trained on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because here, and to be honest with you, in the beginning of that ministry, they should receive a script on what to say.
Exactly.
And stick to that.
Stick to this script.
And get off the phone.
Yeah, it needs to be pastor approved, ministry, something.
Yeah.
Don't just be willy-nilly calling, hey, this is the so-and-so, we ain't seen you.
Don't have nobody who don't like the pastor on that ministry.
Mm.
Because here it is.
Mm.
They're going to start asking questions,
mm-hmm.
digging deep into stuff that they shouldn't dig into.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Felicia Martin says, no matter what your reason for leaving, will never satisfy the pastor or member. Some places are seasonal. No, I agree with you, Felicia. Some places are for a season. But I think if and I know, Felicia, you know, we've had discussions on air about you leaving churches and everything. But I think it's a growing issue. If you leave a church and I'm the leader of that particular organization, it's just like when people leave the job. We used to do, especially if you said you were quitting. Now, people just call you on the phone and quit. There's nothing you can do.
Right.
But when people have told me they were resigning or quitting or going to another job, I had to, part of my job as a manager or director, whichever title it was I had at the time, was we had to do exit interviews.
Yeah, definitely.
And the purpose of that exit interview is to find out if there are things we as an organization could be doing differently. Yeah.
I agree.
So was it myself? Was it one of my managers? Did something happen? You know what? Was it strictly just a money issue?
Right.
Because if it's a money issue when you're leaving a job, hey, look, this is our match. This is the best we can do.
Right.
I can't do nothing else. But if it's a situation of it's an unhealthy work environment, you know, people felt like they couldn't They couldn't speak up on certain issues. They didn't have a voice, you know, something like that. Then that's different, because maybe I can change the climate so that when we do have our team meetings, you do feel like your voice is being heard. Or it could be an issue where it was too out of control,
yeah,
where everybody's opinion messed up. We could never get anything done because we spent all this time arguing and
yeah.
everything else. So
yeah.
I think it's necessary. I think it's necessary to do that. Sophisticated, classy, I can barely see the rest of your name, says, I agree with you on Instagram. Hello. I'm sorry, y'all, on the gram. I ain't being disrespectful. But that's awesome. And then Magnolia something with some numbers behind it says greeters or hospitality ministry. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Greeters. I'm sorry, greeters, not greeters.
Yeah.
I can't read. Yeah, greeters. Absolutely, man. You got to have people who know that, and people who have a welcoming spirit. And just because they smile in your face doesn't mean they have a welcoming spirit.
Right.
It just don't.
That's right.
It really just don't. Let's keep going, y'all. Let's keep going. What else we got? Thank you for what?
Thank them for their participation in serving.
Mm.
One person recently shared with me, nobody called me. Nobody reached out to me. Nobody thanked me for 30 years of participating, serving in children's ministry,
wow.
et cetera. I wasn't looking for that, but it was just like I was gone. Even if we disagree with someone's reason for leaving, can we still thank them, get them a gift, express our appreciation for their years of serving and appreciation in the church? Another thing we can do is thank them for being willing to meet and share with you.
Wow.
It's not easy for people who are struggling with you to get together, especially if you're a pastor. Sometimes they are angry with you, but most often people who have left the church are hurting, and it's painful for them to share their offenses. At any rate, thank them for being willing to meet.
That's good. That's good.
I think you don't want when someone leaves, and this is a strategy I think that we as pastors need to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
When someone leaves your church, even if they have a problem with you, I still believe that you can reconcile the relationship even though they want to leave.
And go somewhere
and
else.
And go somewhere
yeah.
else. Sit down and really appreciate them, because a lot of people that, like you said, 30 years,
mm-hmm.
they put a lot of time in there.
Yeah.
Whether it was good or bad, they mm-hmm. still put time in there.
That's true.
And you don't want that person to leave your church and all they got to do is say nothing but bad things about the church.
Wow.
Because you never know who they're talking to. You never know who they're sharing with.
That's true.
And so you don't want them to always talk about the bad things. You know, this reminds me of my marriage. Even when people ask what happened,
mm-hmm.
my words is it just didn't work.
Wow. Yeah, because that's the general answer.
It just didn't work.
Right.
You know, not to put all the blame on me or
right.
her. It
right.
just didn't work.
Right.
And even in church, you know, a lot of times when people leave, you
mm-hmm.
know, we don't have to say, well, I outgrown that church.
Because
you never outgrow a church. I'm serious. I don't care how you put it. As a member, now, if you have excelled on the level you was on, then okay, you next level.
Mm-hmm.
But you have not excelled. If you've been sitting back, bump on the log,
mm-hmm.
not doing anything, but then said, I'm not receiving nothing,
mm-hmm.
then you're not really doing nothing, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Your method of leaving is not even sufficient. But if you have done everything possible
right.
that you can possibly do mm-hmm. for this ministry
mm-hmm.
and really help it, then okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Some people you want to give your blessings to them.
Yeah.
Listen, I give you my blessings. I thank you for serving. Thank you for all that you've done for us. And then those people, they'll come back and visit.
They sure will. They don't
yeah,
have a problem.
Check on you.
Yeah, when they come in town, they don't have a problem with
exactly.
stopping by.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. We got to do a better job, and it goes back to ministries, because for one thing, the pastor can't see everything,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So you're not going to notice everything.
Exactly.
But that's why you have to have a ministry around to say, hey, you know what? You need a ministry to check on these people.
Exactly.
And then some of the blame comes back to the member, though. You
okay.
have to speak up.
Yeah, definitely.
You got to speak up, and I don't mean go fight and argue, but you have to speak up and be able to come to if you can't get to the pastor, get to a leader in the church and say, look, I've been at this church for some time and something's not sitting right with me.
Some people, but I learned this too. Some
mm-hmm.
people just don't want to hurt your feelings.
They're not confrontational.
They're not at all.
Yeah.
And then some people sit back hoping that it'll change.
Yeah.
And not knowing that you set back
yeah.
additional 30,
you set back
3 or 4 or 5 years.
Too long.
Too long.
Yeah, you waited too
and
long.
And still, it's now when you sit back that long, hoping something changed, now you get angry.
Wow.
You get bitter.
Yeah.
and now you're angry. Your anger, your bitterness, what sits in.
Yeah.
Now you can't even receive the glory.
Yeah.
And so most people who go to church and don't participate in worship,
yeah,
is because there's something going on in their life against that ministry that they go to that that's keeping them from not being freely to worship Him. And I've noticed that people will come to church. They're not going to stop coming. They'll come and look like, Why am I here? I was there before.
Why am I here?
I was there before.
I've been there.
I was there.
I've absolutely been there. Why am I here?
And everything was repetitive.
Yes.
You knew.
It was predictable.
It was very predictable.
You saw it coming.
Predictable. Yeah, man.
It's easy. Like, oh, I know what's going to happen now.
Yep.
I see it coming.
Yep.
My. Let's keep going. The writer says this. He says, affirm their new church. He says, if they're going to a church that preaches the gospel, affirm them. He says, there's only one church. He says, there is only one church. We aren't in competition with other churches in our town. If God blesses them and adds to their number, that's wonderful. We should rejoice. He says, I now tell people, I just want you to be where Jesus wants you to be. That's good. He says, I'm so glad you are prospering there. We're all on the same team. Serving the Lord, I hope you really prosper there.
Wow.
Man, that's good. That's good. You and I think that's blessing people.
Well, that's so. But then also, it's you're sending, giving them your blessings.
Yeah.
But then also, it's showing your maturity.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're mature enough to bless somebody in their next endeavor, you're not trying to hold on to a grudge or hold on to things, saying, okay,
right.
You're not trying to make excuses,
right?
Because truth be told, sometimes we as pastors drop the ball.
This is good, and this is a good question. Dana Miller asked this, and you can answer this. You're the only pastor in the room. She says, pastors, when you leave a church, for whatever reason, is it necessary to get a letter from the pastor to take to the next pastor?
No, that's old school. It's not necessary at all. But if you want to do that, if you leave it in good standards, if you want to, for instance, if you're operating in the ministry.
Yeah.
And you're operating the ministry in my church, and you're getting ready to relocate, or you want to go to another ministry, and you ask for a letter so you can affirm that you were good at that that ministry, or you was obedient, you was faithful in that ministry.
Yeah.
Then I say, yeah, it's okay.
When I left Kingdom, in 2001 or two, 2001, I believe. I gave a letter of resignation.
Okay.
Yeah, I turned. I typed the letter for myself.
You was a leader, right?
I was. Yes. I was over the. I was youth supervisor. Part time van driver.
Yeah.
Audio video person.
Yeah.
All of that. So I literally wrote a letter, and turned it in to the co-chairman of the deacon board at the time.
Okay.
Deacon Walter drove to his house. Deacon Walter's house. Pulled up behind his house and said, "Here are my keys to the church."
Mm-hmm.
Here's my letters, my letters, and my mother's letter. And I said, I was in the church van.
Wow.
And I said, now I'm going to drop the van. I'm going to go drop the van off, and I'm going to leave the keys. I'm told them where I left the keys. And that was it.
Right, right.
And I left, and, you know, I didn't tear nothing up. I didn't, you know, and what's so crazy about it is I left the right way, but my leaving the right way, all it did was folks started talking crazy.
Well, that comes with the territory.
He took our microphones. He took it. No, Dana took everything that he purchased with receipts.
That, you know, but that comes with territory. Honestly, that comes with, you know.
Right.
People going to talk.
Yeah, that's true.
And always remember this. The talk only lasts for a certain period of time.
Yeah.
Because here, even though you left, you was able to come back.
Yeah. Oh, no, you were talking crazy. And I don't want to lose the subject. But even now, you know, so I've been helping out at Ebenezer.
Yeah.
Since what? I've had about 7 inbox messages from people. I can't believe you left Kingdom.
Let them talk.
Now, mind you, Reverend Clemens stood in front of the church.
Wow.
And told them where I was going.
Wow.
And what I was going to be doing.
Wow.
And how long I was going to be there.
Wow.
He didn't have to do that.
He didn't have to.
But he did because he knows how mess gets started.
Yeah.
And Negroes still.
Thank God for his growth for that. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They still talking. It's crazy. Let's go ahead and finish this up. Tell them you love them.
Tell them you love them.
Yeah,
they are always welcome in your church.
There you go.
I now say, I'm glad you love the church you're going to. I just want you to know that you're always welcome at our church at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, remember, the goal is reconciliation.
Yeah.
And though it might feel hard to humble ourselves and hear where we blew it, remember, God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble.
Ah,
you can't go wrong in humbling yourself.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good.
That's real. You know, I think it's good to, I had some members that left during my 10-year at First Bethel,
mm-hmm.
and they gave me their reason. And,
okay.
And to be honest with you, I'm going to tell you this. I don't get into the, when you have all against a personal alt against a person.
Okay.
Okay. Or a leader.
Okay.
That don't make me, that don't move me because that's not the church. That's not the church. You
mm-hmm.
you operate in life in areas that you got a personal problem with people, but you still do it. You still go.
Yep.
You still partake. You still fellowship.
Go to work every day. Can't stand your boss.
A lot of us in fraternities, organizations, Masons, Eastern Stars,
mm-hmm.
we're part of sports
mm-hmm.
that we don't get along with certain people.
But you show up.
But we still show up.
Yep.
It still don't stop us from performing.
Mm-hmm.
It still don't stop us from doing what we've been called to do. And so it's only in the church, me, I believe, that people leave and make a big fuss.
Part of that, too, is the reason people, it's so easier for people to leave now.
Oh, it is.
Because you can go right up the street.
Yeah.
It's because we as a church, it's our own fault because there are so many, you know, in the words of Pastor Reggie Royal, rogue churches open
mm-hmm.
that open the door for people. But I don't like you, so I'm going to go over here.
Definitely.
So you're going to be a church full of folk that don't like people.
Definitely.
So if all the folk in your church and all the folk in my church and the churches down the street don't like their pastor or don't like the members, I'm going to go because I couldn't stand them. So all the folk that can't stand nobody going to go to their own church and they can't stand each other.
Yeah. See, I got an issue with that, too. I really do. I have an issue with that. But, you know, one thing I learned, you can't stop people from being people.
No.
People are going to be who they are. They'll say one thing in your face and then something totally behind your back.
Yeah.
And so I learned this. And I'm be honest, to keep me from not going backwards
mm-hmm.
to that man I was that want to knock somebody's head off. No, I'm serious. I'm learning every day that vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. And even when you getting tested, even when you getting tried, when you want to respond in matters that you know is detrimental to your own self, you got to really relax and let God do it for you. I'm serious. Because even the crisis I was in, I seen some friends that I'm around, text messages.
I seen some friends
comments that called me up and said how they I'm with you, bro, and keep your head up and all that. But then behind my back, you knocking me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you got to – I'm going to say this. Stop looking at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Stop looking at – I'm learning every day. I don't want to hear – how she feel about me. I don't want to hear how he feel about me. As long as you don't touch me or harm me, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good.
Because
I got to believe in Isaiah 54. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me in judgment shall be condemned.
Mm.
I got to believe in that.
Mm-hmm.
Because some battles we can't fight.
Absolutely.
Some stuff that's been presented to us, we cannot fight. Man, it's a lost battle. War. When you already trying to stand, man, let God do this thing for you.
That's good.
Let him do it.
That's good. Man, this was good. I like this, man. This is good.
Yeah.
I like when we get to do some teaching. And the process is you learn some stuff yourself.
Exactly.
You learn some stuff yourself because you can't teach nothing before you learn something.
There you go.
That'll hit some of y'all later.
There you go. For real.
Somebody says, Faith Pittman says, God makes the difference.
Yeah,
he does. I agree.
I like that.
He really does.
Make
God
the difference.
Does. God does make the difference. That's what differentiates churches.
Yeah.
Yeah. The presence of God. So this has been good, man. This has been good. I really, really enjoyed this one. Real quick, one more time. Let me say this again because I don't want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. I wanted to say thank you again to my mom and Priscilla McCurtis, Latanya Melton, and Pat Donald. For coming to help out downstairs with the men, even though it was Men's Day.
That's good.
Look, even that's though good. It was Men's Day, that's the team that I put together help me in the kitchen.
That's good.
So, I call in the professionals.
Well, women's supposed to do it for men.
We've always done it. The men have always done Men's Day, and the women always do Women's Day.
So when it comes down to cooking, if it's Men's Day, the women cook for the men.
And then vice versa. I think that's the way it was supposed to be done.
Yeah.
But at some point, we started doing it the other way.
Okay.
So,
It may be good for fellowship, too.
It is. It used to be fun in the kitchen because myself and, you know, whatever. Yeah, so, but thank you again, all of you all, Pat Donald, Latanya Melton,
Priscilla McCurtis, and my mama, Cheryl King. Thank y'all for everything for that. One more time, thank you to Ebenezer, the historic Ebenezer.
Historic.
Right, got to put that out there. Ebenezer, that's what it said on their website, too. The historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, man, for great fellowship on Sunday. Thank you for being welcoming to my mom and my niece, Danielle, and my former co-employee, Autumn, for coming out. Thank y'all so much. I appreciate y'all. They all surprised me. They just showed
really?
Up. Yeah, because I didn't.
Wow.
Yeah, they, you know, I didn't say, I just, you know, I didn't say nothing. I was like, good. I did say my mom. I said Cheryl King. I said that. Pat Hicks, thank you. Yeah, I did. So I know not to get in trouble. Look, all right. So anyway, what you got going on, man, the rest of the week?
Man, just humping, man. I got a lot of work to do, so just humping, man.
Understood, understood.
Yeah.
And then last thing, y'all, don't forget, next Monday, we will not be on at 12 noon. We'll be on at 7 p.m.
7 prime time.
7 o'clock Monday night. It's going to be good. The sun will still be up a little bit, too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it will.
So there'll still be a little light out. Mm-hmm. I got to make sure I get these light bulbs fixed because it's going to be a little dark once the sun go down.
Right.
So we got to get the lighting right in here for Monday evening. But it's going to be good, good, good. Looking forward to hearing from y'all. Pastor Parks, prayers out, sir.
Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord. We honor you, God. We praise your name. We thank you for all the listeners, God, those that even came
on.
God, we even pray for those that may have got offended, God, to let them know that we didn't do anything to harm or even butcher nobody's name, or
we don't
come on the air to talk about anyone, God.
Yeah.
So, God, we ask that your peace continue to rest, God, continue to bless TTLO, God, continue to bless my brother, continue to bless our director, program director, God. Mm-hmm. And all those that come on to be a part of this show.
Yes.
We love you, God, and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Look, y'all, we got to go, man. Look, we're going to get out of here, enjoy some of this good weather out here, and try to make our way. Y'all know how it is when y'all drive through the city. Man, real quick, and I did not mention this, I forgot. What was the deal with the 11 people got robbed this morning?
Oh, my God, up north.
All at the same, like, back to back.
Back to back, man. That's crazy.
I just thought, what was that?
Man, on the north side, man. It's Chicago, man. Pray, y'all.
Man.
Let's pray, y'all.
Y'all know my saying. If you got to go through this crazy streets and city we call Chicago, keep your head on a swivel, because these people is crazy.
Pray.
We got to go, y'all. Y'all stay blessed, man. TTLO, we are out of here. Peace.